Hello, and you're very welcome to the Town End podcast. It's agonisingly close in Arnhem. We were so close to pulling off a fantastic away victory in Europe. Just wasn't to be, but a 2-2 draw gives us plenty to play back in Tallaght next week. Joining me tonight is Gally and Donal. Gentlemen, how are yous? What do we think of that result? Gally.
Oh, delighted. I know, look, we said here last week, would it take, and if they can stay within a goal of them, even two, I know maybe the first half, we didn't get out. I was just the Adrian Taff, and I didn't catch the first half live, but that's a massive result. To go over there and come away with a draw, especially a score draw, if it was a ball nil-nil, it's just so unlucky that we don't have away goals. We were talking about here a couple of weeks ago, it might benefit us, but my God, you wouldn't mind reversing that decision, would you?
I think if you're playing away first, though, I wish away goals counted, and then of course, if you were playing a home first, you know, scrap that.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. It's one of those situations. It's a cracking result. There's no getting away from it. Yes, right. You're disappointed you actually didn't win it in a small way, to go over it. But it's an unbelievable result. It's right up there with anything. Simply because of the year we've had. Finney's come in. He steadied the ship. Unbelievable. It's not up there with bad hit levels of a couple of years ago, but it's got to be right up there in the top five since we've had this European run.
Yeah.
To go over there to beat a team like that, one or two internationals on it.
Mm.
Yeah, you're just, I don't use the word disappointed because we've used it way too much this season, but you're slightly annoyed you didn't get away with 2-1. Yeah. But 2-2, if somebody said to me we'd be bet 3-2 the night before the game, I would have took it before playing.
Yeah, exactly.
Great result, can't speak highly of nothing, one in particular, but we'll get into him in a minute.
Donal, it's another European night, because I know it, because you're watching on it, the Shamrock Rovers match while being on the podcast at the same time. I love it.
The eyes are going to keep popping up like that, so I apologise to anyone who's actually looking me in the eyes, because it's going to be very distracting.
The result tonight for ourselves first.
Oh, Jesus, what a night. The emotions were all over the place the whole way through the game. You're thinking 15 minutes in, you're like, actually, they're starting to get into this. They're getting the ball down. They're passing it around. They don't look overawed by the occasion. And then all of a sudden, Vitesse just had a few chances and Clarence opened a couple of times. And you're like, whoa, okay. We might need to just batten down the hatches for a little while. And then it got worse as the half went on, even though Fats hit the bar and we could have been one all.
Yeah,
it kept getting worse. We kept giving up more chances. They looked like they were toying with us at times in the first half. Massive, massive thanks to Abebe.
Yeah, there's
a stay in the game
already coming in here. Great saves from Abebe. Do you know what? And we mentioned it last time about, Gary, you just said it there about the Batty game, and you remember Gary Rogers in that first leg away to keep it at 1-0. Some fabulous saves. Abebe threw himself all over the place tonight. And kept us in this. Absolutely think so.
And it was one of those nights. It got to half time and it's 1-0. And I think we all had that Batty game in our head. That night we could have been blown away and the second leg wouldn't have mattered. And I don't know if we could all have sent energy into the Netherlands tonight to tell them, look, we're grand. Just don't concede another one. We're okay. The goals just they built up a bit of a head of steam, but they kind of came out of nowhere. The second one just came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And incredible goals, both of them incredible. I know we'll be talking about the second one until we're 70, 80, 90 years old. I mean, it was just an absolutely incredible goal. The first one was brilliant as well. Yeah, it's such a strange experience to be playing away to Vitesse Arnhem, to have had the first half that we had, and to come away at the end disappointed that we didn't win.
Yeah,
is absolutely crazy.
We're off or not? It's ridiculous. We've absolutely no right to even say that. How do we not? I was listening to Adrian Taff and James Rogers on LMFM, and it just seemed this could be an absolute hockey in after the first couple of minutes. It just seemed to be too. They almost seemed, even on the radio, it just seemed they were too quick for us. We just couldn't deal with anything. And when you're breaking from your. When a team's any opposition at any level, when they're scoring from your corner and it's 5-on-2, it doesn't bode well for a good night at all. But I mean, to come out, you've got Bows during the week, we've Rovers tonight, we've ourselves in the middle. What a week it could be for League of Ireland, just in general. it's a, like, I know it's 2-2, you're disappointed slightly that we haven't come away with 2-1, but you know, it's a massive result. Like, it's such a pity we're not going to the Aviva with it. Like, it's you know, I know we said it last week, like, that Tala Stadium is going to be absolutely rocking next Thursday night. It's going to be an unbelievable. I know there's only 1,500 at it, but it'll seem like there's 5,000 at it, I'm sure, with the boys going up.
Yes.
It sets it up perfectly. We couldn't have asked for better. Like, yeah, 2-1, but 2-2, we're still in. Like, we're 1-0 down, then we're 2-1 up. It goes, like, they can play when they want, and I can't wait. I honestly cannot wait for next Thursday night.
Yeah. I just see Keith Fitzsimons from Irish Footy Vlogs just commenting in. Keith, you're welcome to the show there. But, you know, if you think about that result, you think about Bowes last night. I mean, that's two massive results. You know,
it's huge.
The back of our minds, you know, might not bet us for next year. You know, coefficient, this is doing wonders.
Yeah,
you know, this is really going to push us on.
It's completely unprecedented. Like, we've had a couple of years of ourselves. We had Rovers a couple of years before us. I think, what was that, 2011, 2012, yeah. Michael O'Neill's team. But, you know, to have, like, Bowes the other night were unbelievable. Like, you know, and it goes to show that the league, you were speaking about a couple of weeks ago, the player level, the age group has gotten younger in the league, but the talent and the fitness and what we have to offer has gone completely through the roof. Now, I know we've got some older players on our team, but it's an unbelievable advertisement. Like Keith was saying there, this week alone, the last couple of weeks, but this week in particular has just been fantastic. I know we're at the Dundalk podcast, but we have to give credit where credit's due to all the clubs.
Yeah.
You know, it's just been a cracking week for League of Ireland in Europe.
Yeah. Thanks for all your comments coming in. They're flying in here, so we will try to stay on top of it. I just realized I had to click about 8 and 9 or 10 at a row there. Just to go back to the match, I mean, we go behind You know, and I think everyone was thinking the pressure was starting to tell on us. You know, with BB pull off a few saves, finally they put the ball in the net. I suppose everyone else was probably thinking the same as myself. Oh no, this could be one of those nights. The one that was just, it was sitting there and we're going, oh, this could be a long one. Am I right?
Yeah, at halftime, you're trying to, like, right, you're thinking we want to have something going into next week, and you're like, what's the worst result we can take into next Thursday where we'll still have a chance? Like, is 2-0 too far? 3-0 is probably too far. Like, that is what I was certainly thinking at halftime.
Yeah.
Like, you're thinking the best you can do is just get out of 1-0. Like, just everybody behind the ball. The lads defended pretty well when they needed to defend pretty well, like throwing themselves. They've done that now in the last few weeks. Like, even the treaty game, like, when there was a chance that Treaty had, like, the lads are like throwing themselves in front of shots to block them and stuff. Like, and it's unfortunate the way they conceded the second goal, because it just has to be defended better than what happened. But, you know, Sonny had a pretty decent game, made some great challenges and stuff, you know. So it's just such an odd night, because it does feel like, because of that goal, like, we could be going into next week 2-1 up. Yeah. It's just absolutely bananas. But just like what Gally was saying, like, it's been an incredible couple of weeks for League of Ireland teams in Europe. And I think there was probably people looking at the games that Bowes played last week and that we played last week and looking at the opposition we were playing against and thinking, oh, maybe they're not that good. But when Bowes played Park off the field, and then we go to the fourth team in the Eredivisie and almost knock them off. You're like, now you'd actually be looking at it going, like, there really, really is quality in these teams.
Yeah, exactly. And it's, I think it's a case of, you know, too many times we've seen League of Ireland teams, you know, knocked out early though, and it's, you know, you don't get to see this sort of quality later on, and it just goes to show, you know, sometimes you can get a real bad draw, end up over in Azerbaijan, you're out round one, yeah. That's it. Towards, you know, I think we've been lucky, most of the teams with travel and stuff like that as well. And Gally, to get us back in this game, in fact, you know, the only header I ever remember him having was the cup final.
That
I thought he could have just kicked anything.
Yeah. If anybody's handy with a computer on Twitter, that goal is that Titanic music. It's made for that header. Like, it was just like, I put up a gif. We said it was like a salmon out of the water. Like I've never seen him jump so high, and it was like, if that's a centre forward's goal, we're talking about it. Like,
yeah,
like you actually forget how good the header was because of what he done later, a couple of minutes later. An unbelievable header. Like two keepers in the net don't save it because he just catches it perfect and it goes that far in up towards the post. It's an unbelievable ball. Jokovic has to get credit.
Yeah.
You know, he was like a workhorse up and down that right flank all night, and it's just it's an unusual Dundalk goal. We don't get many like that. You know, over the years we haven't. Like, I know McMillan's come in with a few hoping, but to out jump a defender like for Patrick McElhinney, we never see him in that position. And it was reminiscent of the cup final a couple of years back. Now he was all on his own, but it just like to climb above a defender like that, to almost hang. It looked like he hung in the air for 25 minutes. And to connect with that, fantastic. And that would be a goal of the night, only for what he'd done a few minutes later. You know, it's ridiculous. I couldn't believe it. Unbelievable.
Yeah. Here, so on that, let's spend the next 2 hours breaking down this goal. Donal, I mean, if this happens anywhere else, in any other league, at any other time, like Ali said, if Messi does this, this is all over the internet. This is just sublime.
I think it is all over the internet already. Like, how often do you get goals sent to you in WhatsApp groups from people who aren't League of Ireland fans? Like, as soon as it happened, or as soon as it was available, I got it a few times on my phone. Like, I didn't celebrate because, you know, he did this thing against Rovers as well, like in Oriel, where he was clean through and he stopped and let somebody come past him and then pulled it back and then shot. And it's like, it's so hard to just, you're screaming at, like if you scream, just put your foot through it.
Yeah.
And then he's the calmest man in the whole of Holland and then just chips it in. But I couldn't celebrate it because I was just absolutely blown away by how good it was.
Yeah.
What a stat that is on the bottom.
Yeah, yeah. He just another gem for us there. Like, you know, 10 That's games.
Over the years, that's unbelievable.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of proven though, you know, the switch to summer football and, you know, this feeding ground maybe of S players not always leaving, or you've got a little bit like Liam Scales and you're leaving, but you're going to get a fee for it. So
yeah, and it's a confidence thing as well. Like, I think a lot of teams didn't go in confident over the years, and you know, Michael O'Neill got in with the O'Donnell penalty, then Dundalk showed everybody that it can be done. Like, people forget, Stephen Kenny built a team from nothing to do to get to Europe.
Yeah.
That team came from nowhere. I know he signed one or two players down the line, but he built that squad from nothing, from players that nobody else wanted. And it's a confidence thing. And confidence breeds confidence. And both the other nights were just sensational. Like, unbelievable to watch the other night.
There's just no fear in any of them boys. No fear at all.
That's probably what's been missing for years in League of Ireland clubs. And I think now we're seeing that gap being bridged very, very well by clubs. I know Sligo were lucky. We've Larne up the north as well in Linfield. But yeah, look, it's been a great couple of weeks. It's great to watch.
I think at this junction, lads, we might bring in someone. He's not renowned for really being a Dundalk fan. I don't think we've ever had a fan of another team on this show before. So this could be a first. Very welcome to the Town End podcast for Kieran Burke from Between the Stripes. Kieran, you're donning the gear. I presume you're half force you into this tonight, or is this a genuine?
Oh, no, it's great to see. Great result for Dundalk tonight. Very surprised, I have to say. Wrote them off on my own show during the week. Didn't give them much chance, but I suppose...
That's why I thought it's the perfect time to bring you in.
Yeah, 100%. Now, do remember I had you on my podcast and I treated you very well, so just keep that in mind. But I suppose may have slightly overlooked the fact, I suppose, Vitesse were out of season as well. I think we've seen that during the week in the Bows game. That was a big factor in the Bows result as well. But put that aside, I mean, a brilliant performance tonight. At halftime, I was very frustrated because the Golden Dog giveaway, you really shouldn't be giving away a goal like that, especially at this level, getting caught out from your own corner. I thought that was very naive. And I went online at halftime and I kind of vented my frustration at that. And a lot of people said, you know, this is just a very, very good side. But I thought, and I said it at halftime, that I thought they were there for the taking at the back. I thought they looked as open as Dundalk did, particularly down the flanks. So I wasn't a bit surprised that Dundalk got back into it in the second half. And I definitely think in the last 20 minutes or so, we really saw the fitness edge. I thought Dundalk really finished the game the stronger. But, I mean, look, it's disappointing to concede the second. What a goal by McElhinney. I just joined when you were talking about it there. Absolutely unbelievable. I knew he hadn't the legs to just run the whole length of the pitch and stick it in. I knew he was going to have to cut back and do something, but to sit the defender down, sit the goalkeeper down, chip it over to two of them, absolutely unbelievable. And you kind of have to put to the back of your mind that he's not going to be at Dundalk next season. That's absolutely crazy. Like, he's been unbelievable the last few weeks. It's very fortunate he didn't leave in July, like some of the reports suggested, because he's been absolutely top of the pops the last few weeks. But
you think of the pass for Patching in the previous.
Yeah, I think that went under the radar as well. I know a lot of people were talking about Sahibo winning the ball back and that, but the first time pass from McElhinney last week was class. But look, it's all set up for next week. I was just saying, it's such a shame. I think it's only 1,500 that's going to be let in next week, Natal, isn't it? Like, I don't know what the attendance was there tonight. Was it 18 or 19,000? Or less than that, but it was great to see so many fans there, and they were making a bit of noise. But even if you had 3,000 or 4,000 Dundalk fans there next week, you can imagine the atmosphere to be generated. So I think Dundalk are a little bit of a disadvantage that they won't be able to have as many fans as they should. But I'm sure that the lucky few that get there will do their very best to get behind the team. But it's all set up now for a cracking second leg. Like,
I suppose, Kieran, just from your own point of view, from not being a fan of any of the three teams involved in Europe this year, but looking in from afar, how do you think they're performing? What do you think the standard, you know, versus what opposition we're coming up to? You think, is it enhanced the profile of the league?
Well, the fact none of the games have been on telly, I suppose it's hard to enhance the exposure of the league. And I know that's something we discussed on our own show last night, but we'll not get into that now. But I know a lot of people were delighted with the result last week, and rightfully so. It was great for Dundalk to get through that tie, but I would have been really disappointed if Dundalk didn't get through that tie. I thought they probably made more work of it than there needed to be. I mean, they dispatched Livadia handy enough a couple of years ago. I know this Dundalk team probably isn't as strong as a few years ago. That's obvious, but they shouldn't be going out against a side like that. They didn't, but they made a lot of work of it. Newtown were a very poor team as well, so Vitesse tonight, a totally different level of opponent altogether. So the performance they put in tonight, it just shows what they can do. But that was fantastic. As for Bowes, like, people look at it and they beat a Luxembourg team and you think, yeah, that should be expected. But Dudelange, their pedigree in Europe over the last couple of years is very impressive. They've been in group stages, they've beaten some big sides, Cluj, Legia Warsaw, who like Dundalk fans know all about. So to dispatch them the way they did so handily last week was absolutely incredible. And like, we forget Bowes are still a part-time team. Now, they're full-time in everything but name, really. Like, they train the same amount. They've got quality players, you know. But the resources they have, they shouldn't, in a million years, be getting the results that they have been getting in Europe, particularly against Pauk, who are on just... I heard someone saying that a lot of their players are kind of on the high-end 20K a week mark. Like, the likes of Kagawa there. I think they had 10 internationals in the starting 11 there on Tuesday night. So even though they're out of season as well, for Bowes to put in the performance they did, and I know Keith Long was saying after the game he's disappointed they didn't win by more, like, that just says a lot about Bowes. I think they've been brilliant in Europe this year. And as for Rovers, they went out against Slovan Bratislava, but they beat them in the second leg. That was a good result because, like, again, Dundalk fans know what a good side Bratislava are. But just watching their game here at the first half at the moment, they've had a lot of the ball there against the Albanian side, but haven't made a lot of it so far. But I'd be disappointed now if they don't get into at least the playoff round. And they've got a decent enough draw in the next round as well. So I think out of all the teams left in it, Rovers probably have the best chance of reaching the group stages. But both teams, Bowes and Dundalk, are in with a shout as well after the performances they put in the first legs.
Yeah. You kind of touched on it there already, Kieran, and something we're probably going to talk about ourselves later on. But I think when you look at the Bowes match last night, ourselves tonight against good opposition, there's an appetite for football fans to watch that on TV. You know, never taking away the Irish element of it, I think there are two teams that people would watch anyway if it was on a Champions League game or something else on TV on BT Sport or something. So it's just a crying shame that this advantage, like, we may never get three teams in it to the qualifying round and possibly further on, and we've missed this opportunity. If it wasn't for streaming, where would we be?
And especially the fact, apparently, you know, the Bowes game was offered to RT for free and they turned it down. And now, look, I know they have the Olympics and everything to worry about, but surely there was some way they could have shown that game. And I know they could have shown the Rovers game tonight, but they wanted to move it to a 5 o'clock kickoff. So I think it was a non-runner after that. But look, we'd be here all night talking about RT and its shortcomings. We were talking about this on our own podcast last night, that the head of RT Sport, Declan Bennett, was on an RT soccer podcast earlier in the year, and he was talking about RT's commitment to Irish football. There's been very few live games this season, at a time where there's been, you know, we're in a moment now where there's no Premier League. Obviously, we've had the Euros, but I think someone was saying last night that maybe one of the reasons the Bowes game wasn't shown, that Irish television viewers are maybe a little bit, they've had too much football over the last while. There's been no football on now for a couple of weeks, you know, on free to air. And even when there is Premier League and everything on, it's all behind a paywall. A lot of people now can't afford to have that anymore, and kind of free to air football is becoming a bit of a rarity now. Like, so yeah. I don't think there's any excuse for the Bowes game not being on telly the other night. It's disappointing as well. Even I know, look, RT is the national broadcaster, the onus is on them a bit more to pick up these games, but Virgin Media is there as well. They've got a proper sports department as well. Why are they not picking these games up? So they're not blameless in this either. But look, the streaming's great, but we were just saying it on our show last night, you're never going to attract that person that's not kind of following the league to stream. And even if you make it free, unless it's there and on your television set, you're not really going to go out and attract that outside element that you really need to target. So I know Stephen Bradley was talking about today that he thinks it's time to stop going cap in hand to this to these television companies and to go and build the streaming model. And I can totally see where he's coming from, because I don't think personally that it's right that when League of Ireland teams are on telly, they're not getting compensated for it. That's wrong to start with. And I know people will say, well, do you want to be on telly or do you not want to be on telly? They should be compensated for when they're on. So I can see what he's saying in regards to let's build the streaming product. But at the same time, you're never really going to get that outside audience at the same time. Someone suggested to me what a great idea would be if there could be like a League of Ireland TV on the Serviu network. I thought that was a great idea. Obviously, it's more costly than streaming games. But I think something's going to have to really be seriously looked at, because we've had some great results in Europe over the last week or so, and still the television companies don't want to pick it up. So I think there needs to be a proper review now of where we go from here as a league.
Yeah. We had Martin Connolly, the former general manager up in Dundalk Football Club, on here last week. And, you know, I think he threw out a stat there that Greyhound Racing gets about 47 million funding. And, you know, we're a single figure digits from the government from funding. Now, imagine what that sort of money could do for an infrastructure. There's your compensation straight away. We're also building better facilities and everything else to enhance this league. You know, the backdrop of Bowes in the Aviva, you know, it looks beautiful on the eye no matter what scoreline could have been. They look more professional. You just mentioned there that they're, you know, a full-time outfit and bar name. But playing in that sort of backdrop gives those players this massive lift. This is where they should be on a professional stage like this. And that does attract in other people when they see those sort of facilities. But imagine, you know, we come back to Oriel Park again, and you know, you're looking at that backdrop. It isn't quite the same as the Aviva.
Yeah.
For an appetite for people outside the league, though.
Yeah, and Martin's right on what he says about the kind of the divvying up of the betting levy. I think it is less than that. I think I could be wrong. Martin could be right. I think it's about 70 million for Greyhounds. But anyway, look, they get a big chunk of it. And then the rest of it, about 70 or 80 million, goes to horse racing. When there's a lot of bets placed in this country on football, I think it's only right that football should get a split of that money. Now, look, we can debate all day about how the FAI have handled finances over the last number of years and whether they should be trusted with that type of money. But something needs to be done in terms of infrastructure. I think that some of that betting levy should go to the clubs just for infrastructure solely, not to pump it into first teams and wages and all that. Infrastructure in this country needs to be seriously looked at. And then, as I said, we need to have a whole branch review of how we're marketing the league in terms of television coverage, streaming, all the rest. But the potential is there. It's on the pitch. We can see it with these European results. That's the most frustrating thing. The potential is there. Yeah. If it wasn't there, then, you know, we wouldn't be having this discussion, but the potential is clearly there. We can see that with the national team, the amount of ex-League of Ireland players in that. So much good young talent coming through. I think one thing the FAI do deserve credit for is the underage structures they've put in over the last while, 13s, 15s, 17s, 19s. Now, we do need a bridging league between 19s and senior, because we're losing too many players in that kind of gap there. But aside from that, the underage league's big success, and Bowes in particular club that's kind of seen the benefits of that. But the product's there. It just, it needs support from FAI and from government.
Yeah. And I think like the thing about it is, you know, it's easier to sell these big glamorous European ties to the bar stoolers or the people who haven't got a massive interest. You look at whatever happened previously with, you know, this Super League, and people have kind of fallen out of love slightly with big European clubs to support. There's a team here on people's doorsteps. There's a massive opportunity that we really missed out. And I think Keith Fitzsimons is true in the early morning. It was May. I think actually it was the 7th of May was the last.
7th of May, yeah.
Yeah, I said that at the time about the whole Super League thing. There really is a kind of a, people are becoming really disattached with the Premier League and that type of football in general. They just feel it's a kind of a different stratosphere. We're seeing tonight Jack Grealish there going for 100 million. You know what I mean? It's just a different world to what we're operating in. Now, we are all League of Ireland lovers here. We don't need any more convincing. But I think there's a lot of people that are kind of feeling a bit disillusioned by the VAR as well. There's just a lot of people that aren't enjoying watching football on the telly anymore. And I think as a league, it's a shame. Obviously, we had the restrictions at the time. But you'd have to ask yourself, even if there wasn't the whole pandemic and everything, the lack of marketing in the league in general, would we have made more of it? Probably not. So there really needs to be a look at how we're marketing the league, what we're doing. I think we missed out on a huge opportunity there. Are we going to get an opportunity like that again? Who knows? But these European games are an opportunity and we're not making enough of it because the games aren't on TV. The streaming's great, but again, that's only targeting the people that are going to watch it anyway. So I don't know what we do as a league, but there needs to be serious a sit down of all parties there and see where we go from here.
Yeah, Kieran, you've actually just touched on a good point there, just with regards to marketing. And I'm just thinking versus what we would see across the water in any of the leagues. Nearly you can always see cross sponsorship and bits and pieces brought in. You know, I do look at the Premier League use former players a lot. I think at one stage did Alan Shearer handing out season tickets, calling up to someone's door and a sponsor was all over it. Like imagine that Airtricity were told, you know, here's Glenn Crowe or Jason Byrne or something going to call up to someone's door and hand them their season ticket for the year. It's a great promo for them. It's great promo for the league. It enhances big players like that was formerly in the league. Like there's little silly things like that we could easily do. I know it's a bit gimmicky, but just, you know, just when you mention it there, like it's a simple little marketing thing that can bring in other people and you know, it can also help the sponsors. Cause I think that's the real key on this, you know,
like some clubs are good at doing it, aren't they? Some clubs have, like Boas have gone into the community and done loads. I know Cork are having their troubles, but they were quite strong in the community. There's a lot of clubs you could point to. Even Dundalk, when Fife were the sponsor, Dundalk did a lot of great stuff in the community as well. But as a league, when do we actually ever see kind of anything pumped out by Airtricity as a sponsor? Now, look, fair play to them. They're putting the money into it when probably no one else would at the moment. And I know as well the FAI Cup there, we went without a sponsor for the first round and then they got a sponsor announced for the second round. So it's obviously not that easy to attract sponsors at the moment to the league, but in terms of actual marketing, I know, again, like it's great now that the goals go up on the social media after, especially when there's an absolute cracker somewhere. Like we've seen the Athlone goal there a couple of weeks ago, went viral within minutes. That's what needs to happen. But more of that needs to happen. Sometimes certain games' highlights go up and other games don't. And even if you go onto the FAI TV there and look at the highlights, sometimes the highlights are very bad quality or the audio and the video is out of sync. I mean, that's coming from the official FAI channel. So anyone from outside the league that doesn't follow or watching that is kind of thinking, Jesus, this is very amateur set up here, isn't it? Like everything just needs to be reviewed and how we're going to market. I mean, the Bundesliga has gone through a great kind of growth because of their social media goals and clips going up all the time. And the NBA as well as a sport that they're streaming games live on Twitter. Like we need to start thinking outside of the box here if we're going to really grow the league to an outside audience.
Yeah. Like we were talking about, so if RTE channels were blocked up with other sports, was there a chance to allow me a free on social media for some of these games? There was a bigger audience attracted in straight away. Would that have worked?
Yeah, I think that would have worked.
With live streaming games, I think, like Kieran mentioned, their live streaming games, it was only done really, the Women's League was live streamed and at one stage. Like, it's never really been done. And it's the simple ideas will generally work. You know, like, you know, you're preaching to the converted when you talk to anybody listening to this or the Dog fans when you on Kieran's podcast or anything, but it's the simple things that will work for people. We're not looking for anything like intergalactic. It's live football. It's very straightforward. And like you said, if you can't get it right when people are at home and can't go anywhere, like, you'd have to wonder what they're going to do when fans go back. Look, everybody loves live football. They want to go back to the stadium, but there's got to be an option for people. There's going to be a long time before people might want to go back to football.
Yeah.
And it's just something they haven't just rolled with. They just haven't. Look at the League of Ireland streams. It's great to be done. The stream's a bit iffy. You know, it's watch LOI was great as well. But I mean, something so simple as live stream a match, it's a no-brainer. You know, like RTE, like Kieran said, we can talk with them till the cows come home. They're just not interested.
The sad fact is, as well, it took a pandemic for streaming to happen in this league. Exactly. If COVID never happened, there would be no such thing as LOI TV, watch LOI. Yeah. And the sad truth as well is, watch LOI, okay, the first season was good, it filled a need. But up until the summer here, where it was eventually stopped, it was terrible. The service was awful. It was just a box-ticking exercise by RT and everyone involved in it. No replays. Some of the commentary was terrible. Now, look, I commentate on games. Not an easy job. But put people there that want to be there and are actually interested in the league. Not this robotic stuff that was going on. Streams breaking down. Graphical issues. I mean, you couldn't sell that to anyone. Yeah. Even for League of Ireland fans, it was a hard watch. Yeah. Imagine sitting down someone you meet your friend up the town and say, oh, come on and watch the Longford and Dundalk game with me here. And then you show them that. They'd say, I'm not watching that. That's a joke.
Yeah.
I mean, we can talk about RT and their commitment to the league, but they didn't show a lot of commitment with the Watch LOI. The streaming was absolutely horrific. And what the clubs have done, to be fair, is far and beyond. Now, I know there's been a couple of issues. Dundalk had a few issues with the start of the season. Yeah. Last year when we started it up, we had no idea what we were doing. We had a few issues at the start. We eventually got a handle on it. Most clubs have run into issues at some stage. But the effort was there to try and improve it every week. Like when we started, we didn't have replays. Now we have replays. We've got on-screen graphics, possession stats, all of that. We're improving it all the time. That didn't happen with Watch LOI. It deteriorated week by week. Yeah. So that's the commitment that was shown to streaming and trying to market the league.
Yeah. It sounds like it's mostly in our own hands to go and do something with this. For Kieran, look, I appreciate you jumping on. I know you're probably still half watching the Shamrock Rovers match there.
It's not as entertaining as the Dundalk game, I have to say.
Yeah, Kieran, just before we let you go, just a quick word on Longford yourself. I mean, it's I suppose sometimes we know ourselves what it's like stepping up from the first division to the Premier Division in this league. It's not easy. We tried clearing out a whole team and a rebuild and got rid of John Gill for some unknown reason. You know, it's not an easy transition up, sure isn't.
No, it's not at all. And I think COVID's made it harder because the finances were probably lesser than what we might have had. Plus the fact Drogheda got promoted as the champions, and I think they got a lot of the players in truth that we would have liked to have gotten. Dame Massey even one of them, and a lot of the other experienced players they brought in, the likes of Deegan there, whereas we've been relying on younger players. We've brought in two players on loan there from Rovers recently, and they've been great additions, Dean Williams and Nugent, but they're very young players, so we're kind of shopping in a different market to what everyone else is shopping in. And to be fair, we've been very competitive in almost every single game, and even I'm sure you watched the two games against Dundalk. I thought the two games against Dundalk this season, we really let them off the hook. I thought we should have definitely at least won one of the two, if not both of them. I thought we were really good in the two games. Two games against Rovers this season, both decided by 95th minute goals. We dropped points against Derry in the last minute. Been loads of games where we've dropped points. We should have way more points on the board than we have. But it's starting to look very, very difficult now for us to stay up. We're playing Rovers on Sunday. Probably write that one off and just hope we don't take a thump in there. But the next two games after that then is Finn Harps and Waterford. And if we're going to stay in the division, we're going to have to certainly win the two of them games, I think. So I'm not writing this off yet. I've got great belief in the lads. I've never seen a team try harder in all my life following Longford. And that is the God's honest truth. They try and they try and they try. But at times there probably just is that little bit lack of quality there, lack of experience especially. But they're trying in every game. And
it's, you know, usually when a team sometimes too, isn't it? It's the bounce
luck,
of the ball
lack and, of luck as well. Even the game in Derry when we were winning 1-0 up in the Brandywell, going into the last minute, the ball took this unnatural bounce off the AstroTurf and literally fell straight on the foot of a Derry player, and he stuck it in the net with the last kick of the game to get an equaliser. I mean, that's the type of stuff that's happened this season. Some very bad decisions, but look, every team has had them with the refereeing this year. The refereeing is the worst I've ever seen in the league. But like usually when you're in this position as a club, you start hearing a lot of noises and disgruntlement and people looking for the manager's head. And I don't really, there's one or two, of course, that are always like that, but I don't see that at Longford. And I've never had more belief ever in my life following Longford. Like, I've been critical down the years of plenty of managers and players. I've never had more belief in a manager that Darragh Doyle is the only man for that job. He is the perfect man for that job. Never seen a man that cares more about a football club. He's a gentleman, but that doesn't matter. You can be an absolute prick. I don't care, as long as you're doing the right job. But I see it firsthand, because obviously I'm out there very early for a lot of the games with the media team and the streaming and all that. And I see the work that goes in, and I'm chatting to him after games, and he's trying to get players in. And like, as I said, we don't have the resources. Like, some clubs are going off from players' accommodation and everything. We just can't do that. But he's trying his socks off each and every week, and he really cares. It hurts him every week when the results don't go the right way. Johnny Martin, there, his assistant as well, is an absolute footballing genius. The two lads are the perfect men for that job. And I probably never thought I'd say this, but I'd be happy for Longford to go down. Well, not be happy, but I would be happy for them to just totally stay there and try again next year if needs be, and try and get us back up, because there's nobody that will do a better job than them two lads. So fully behind them. Hopefully we can turn it around. A win against Rovers on Sunday would be the great way to start it. But I've enjoyed the step back into the Premier. It's 4 or 5 years since we were at this level, and it's great going to places like Oriel and seeing the McElhennies and the Duffies and the Hovens and pitting your wits against them. And it's just a shame, obviously, that the fans are only starting to get back in now, and there's still no away fans at games. So we've missed a lot of good away days, particularly up to Dundalk there. It would have been a great occasion for us to go up to Oriel and bit of crack with the boys in the shed and all that. So look, hopefully we can turn it around and we'll have them days next year. But if not, I fully believe that the two men in charge there will get us back here sooner rather than later.
Absolutely. Look, and we wish you all the best for the rest of the season. If you could take a few points off any of the teams around us as well, that'd be brilliant.
No worries, lads. Thanks for having me on. Come on to town.
Cheers.
Come on to town. Thanks, Kieran. Look, I think there's a couple of good points there by Kieran on that. Look, it's good to get another team's perspective sometimes of where we sit on this. But it's come up on a few podcasts and in a few discussions this week of lack of TV coverage in general, never mind these two games. Like, it's awful disappointing, isn't it?
It's shocking.
Yeah. I mean, I was just going to say, like, you know, when we're talking about putting the teams are tweeting out the goals and it comes out on, like, even the McElhenney goals straight away, you think if RTE were live streaming the game on Twitter, if there was a pinned tweet on the top of RT's Twitter, RT Sports Twitter page that had the game, so that when these goals go in, they can tell you, this game is on, follow this link and you can watch it. Yeah. And you reach so many people straight away. Now, you might not retain those people, but you might retain a couple of them. And especially nights like Bose last night and ourselves tonight, where, like, maybe some people looking at it going, like, there's no way they're going to get a result, I'm not even going to bother. And then when we go 2-1 up, mm-hmm. to catch a casual fan, a casual, like, Irish football fan on Twitter or Facebook or Instagram or whatever, you absolutely pull people in. Now, that's the thing of retaining them beyond this one game goes back to, like, much bigger problems that exist. But, like, I don't ever want to give Stephen Bradley any credit, but what he said about the streaming and about RTE makes complete sense. And it makes even more sense when you find out that RTE had asked Rovers to move the game to 5 o'clock to suit them.
Yeah.
Like, you can understand him being beyond pissed off at them. That, like, you're not going to pay for it. You're going to make us move the time. And, like, if we lose, you won't show the second leg. You know,
that's... Yeah.
And I, like, the unfortunate thing, like, the way this is set up now with the RTE have said that they want to focus on, or they would focus on the champions and champions route to whatever tournament that they're going to get into. But the champions route is going to end up with Rovers playing a team tonight who I don't know if any of us know what the name of the team is. So that's not going to pull in people. Whereas if they could just pick whichever the biggest match was, that might pull people in. But they're kind of goosed whatever way to do it. Like, there's much, like, the problem begins, like, right at the very, very root of how League of Ireland football is viewed in this country. It's like there's so many problems from the ground up that, like, we talked about this before, about the infrastructure, about the stadiums, and about showing goals and stuff. Like, the Athlone goal got whatever amount of views. I mean, it's an incredible goal, but Jesus, it looked like shit. Like, the goal is amazing, but it's not going to, like, I don't know if anybody's going to be, like, running down to the next Athlone home game because they saw that goal, you know?
Yeah,
it's there's so many things involved in this that need to be fixed and need to be addressed, and, like, we are miles away from it, I think.
Like, I suppose, Gally, something was said to me this week is, so if all the clubs have set up their own streaming service now, it wouldn't be that hard to redirect one of the streams to the RTE server, and they select one game each weekend and stream that on their platform as well. As in, this is the main game for the weekend, and they stream it, whether it's free or it's just on the RTE player or something, or it's on one of their social media accounts. I mean, there's loads of options to increase the viewership onto this, and that might entice somebody else. Then, you know, we're talking about how do you retain somebody, but, like, if someone watches maybe one or two of these games, they might buy a pass after it. But if we don't target them, they're definitely not going to buy a pass at any stage. No. Am I right?
And that's the thing. It's like Kieran was saying, it's been targeted to people who are already watching it. So that's fine, because you'll always have those fans. And when the stadium's back open, when they're back open, everybody will be there. They'd be following the road to get there. But I'm not going to say it's easily fixed, but to start it off, it can't be that difficult. Like you say, that kind of server set up, you know, like a League of Ireland matrix type thing there where everybody kind of logs in. Like, it can't be that hard.
No, it's not.
Like, when you read that, is Ryan Nugent still the guy for sport on RTE? Is he still the main man?
No, Ryan Nugent is...
Because he's rugby head, isn't he?
RTE sport anymore.
Yeah, you'd have to wonder who's kind of pulling the strings here and say, look at, you've got the GEA is sewn up. They don't even need coverage because GEA sells itself. It's a community sport. And football was never seen as probably that community feel to it. It was kind of a club thing, and, you know, your local club or whatever. And look, lots of counties don't have a local club, and that's fair enough. But it's something that can be, the likes of the streaming, it's so easily done. Like you have done it. Like, the best stream of the year was yourselves up at Oriel Park, the Bowes match. Like, I'm not saying it was easily done, but it is easy. Like, when you consider what RTE are complaining of not doing or they can't do, you know, a couple of boys with a camera, Gavin McLaughlin, yourself. Like, it's there. And there's people like you at every single club in the country. And it can be done. Now, obviously, First Division may not get the audience that it might deserve or might warrant. But it's got to be looked at. You got people there, like, if you see Keith Fitzsimons, you know, well-known in League of Ireland fans, own circles. People like that pushing the league, pods like us. There's only so much we can do, you know. Like, I'd love to live stream a Townend game at Oriel Park. It's doable, you know, but it's something so... It's the simple things that have been overlooked. Completely simple stuff. And there, who's that name? Declan McBennett. There we go. So we get Declan McBennett on the blower there. We get him onto the podcast.
You know, we gave the costings of everything, but...
Yeah, if they can explain why...
The costings out of their hand, you know.
Yeah, exactly,
the whole point.
Yeah, because then they have no issues. They have no issues then.
Yeah. I just think if clubs are already providing, you know, the most of the broadcast services behind it, they're providing co-commentaries and commentary, score graphics, the whole lot. I mean, there's a hell of a lot that we have already in place that would reduce the cost. It would only be redirecting a server, somebody in the IT department in RT, diverting it to RT player or to their social media thing. It's an extra, you'd be paying for an extra broadband, maybe a dedicated broadband line, but that's about the height of it.
So
there's a lot there that could be done very easily, but I just think that there's and here's the thing is, there's now two games. If you look at the Bowes match, we'll see what way the Shamrock Rovers game goes. It's currently still 0-0, but if you think of our... Oh, Donald, thanks for the update.
I got you.
You know, if you think of our game is so evenly poised, and, you know, Bowes now have to go there and either hold that result you know, contain them. Like that's a massive spectacle, and there's a big interest across everybody. Yeah. So there's two things that people would have an interest in watching. And I just think, once again, we're just going to miss that opportunity.
Yeah. And it's just the European thing is like, the European thing has the bit of glamour about it. Like, it's easy to sell to people. Like, say if Dundalk get through against Vitesse and they're playing Anderlecht, and you're like, right, they're playing against Vincent Kompany.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's easy to sell. And it seems like such a no brainer for them, for someone to have gotten involved in it, one of the European games, and somebody probably will. And the problem again is, like, Rovers will get through and play Ammonia Nicosia or the other, or Florentale, and no one's going to care about that.
You'd be the loser of that one too.
Like. And you're like, the glamour ties in Europe should be, like I said, are just a no brainer. Like, just put them on somewhere, get them available to people to look at. And what I think as well is, like, that they should be shown a game each round of the cup. Yeah. That also seems like a no-brainer, to just show one game, just commit to one game, because they're gonna have Rovers and Bows, and I don't know what that might be on TV. I don't know.
You would assume so,
whenever that game is on. But like, think if that had been in the first round, and it would have just passed them by, they wouldn't have been able to show it, and that'd be like, there's a handful of games that they would, League of Ireland games that would get a bit of talk going, like, and them two playing each other in the cup is a, like, there's going to be a lot of talk about that beforehand, especially after the European games. And it just seems like you would have got like a first round game, you would have got Derry and Drogheda in the first round.
Yeah.
And instead of what they do,
imagine had it gone to Athlone.
yeah, imagine. But they, instead of doing that thing of like ahead of the games or ahead of the season, they're like, right, we'll pick these six games because we want to get every team in. And like, that's admirable that they want to show as many teams and they want to like highlight whatever. But that's something that, say, Sky do with the second game on the Sunday. But the biggest game of the week is on the TV. And it always felt like, you know, like, say, when like we would have been playing Rovers the first game of the season and they showed the Dock and Rovers. And then say if we were playing Bows the following week, they wouldn't show it because they'd already shown us the week before.
Yeah.
And there's just so many things there. Like, if someone had any sense here, like, but I still think like Keith mentioned it there, like, but getting people to go to the games, and that's what all of this social media stuff, that's what all of this streaming stuff is supposed to do. It's not supposed to keep people sitting at home and watching it. It's supposed to encourage you to go to the games. And again, I hate harping on about facilities and stuff, but you just see the grounds and think, I'm not going there. Like, and it's a shame. Like, that's the thing. Like, there's so many things have to go hand in hand. Like, if we want to advertise this league as being as good as it is, as good as we know it is, we have to be able to show it to people that this is actually a great league and there's great players here playing every single week and there's massive rivalries. Yeah. But it's just so hard to get people invested in it, I think, when it looks like it looks.
We've got guests wanting to come in our pizza competition. Sorry, I'm giggling.
Absolute chance on But like, just what you were saying, though, and like, in fairness to clubs, I feel like we're doing deja vu here, but clubs have done whatever they can. You know, they have done a lot of stuff. Like, we were talking at very early days of this podcast. Like, if you were a Dundalk fan in the 90s, you couldn't even buy a jersey. You couldn't, like, you didn't walk around with your Dundalk jersey. It was only really kind of John Gill / we forget Sean Connell, maybe a bit of Ian Foster, Stephen Kenny, what kids were going around. Like, I get kids coming to Castlebell Street in Dundalk clothes, girls. Like, that didn't happen. Like, unless you played for local team, you didn't have a jersey, you didn't own a jersey. So things like that, all, you know, League of Ireland has come up, but it has kind of, it's been improved 100% that way, but it's little things like that, like getting them, like, the most important thing is getting them to games, getting them to watch matches. And there's, look, some kids won't like it. The majority will, like I think he was saying, like, even if they don't like it, they'll go for the crack, the sweets at the shop. They'll always go up to it, you know. That's but you know, it has come on massively. But you got to start catering now for 2021, 2022, this kind of era, generation of people that, you know, want instant football. And look at it, ideally, you don't want to watch it on telly, but the situation we're in at the minute, it's got to be produced or promoted better than it has been. And you know, it seems to be only online, you know. Local clubs, local pod, not so much podcast. I don't want a podcast, we're biased, but just local kind of media, you know, boys just are fans, genuine fans of the league and promoting it, all not getting anything forward, you know, voluntarily and stuff. And it shouldn't be like that. It's great that it's like that, but you shouldn't have to heavily rely on people like that, you know.
Yeah, exactly. But I think this is what spawned a lot of the podcasts, a lot of YouTube channels, because we're not in the main domain. If you, it only takes you to either listen or to watch any sports report at the end of the news. Yeah. League of Ireland football is just so far down.
Yeah, you know, there's nothing worse than watching a game of League of Ireland. It goes to the end and then it's off.
Yeah,
that's it. There's nothing.
No analysis back. No interview. No, just nothing. Yeah,
the people have to put up with this. They have to come on and listen to us for an hour and a half.
Well, we still got 40 minutes left.
Yeah.
It's like when they say, for TV or a 7:05 kickoff or something like that. And you know, it's because they're waiting for home and away to finish.
Exactly.
We're waiting behind home and away.
And you go through an awful game and your League of Ireland stream, and then you come on and it's us three idiots.
Sometimes it's not us three. We've got two other idiots that can come on as well. It's not always the same three. There's a bit of variety.
The other two idiots are sitting at home watching these three idiots. Yes, but these three idiots hold the power of the pizza for tonight. We'll come on to it fairly soon, so just keep commenting in, everybody, for your chance to win a Tony's Pizzeria 15-inch pizza of your choice. We will select it. I'd be surprised if we all don't vote for who everybody else has voted for. Habibi.
I was just going to say, who are we all voting for?
I'll be surprised. We'll go around it. We'll go around it fairly soon. Just before we get to that, we now have to, with this tie really delicately balanced, we've got to switch focus very quickly now on Sunday. With Pats coming to Oriel Park, I mean, is it the right time to play them? Or, you know, they looked huffed and puffed against Rovers. So,
Pats, the way Stevie has them set up, it's not ideal. I mean, look, there's no real League of Ireland game ideal. Not that you don't want to play a League of Ireland game in between, but where the dog are in the league, there's not really any ideal matches. But the big thing is who he selects. That's going to be a big, you know, will he have one eye on next week? Vinny probably will, but it'll be interesting to see who plays and who's not completely shattered from the last couple of weeks. But you know what you're going to get with Pats. It's going to be all out action. They've been excellent all season. Like, you know, we did say they'd kind of run their course, they've kind of hung on there. You know, they don't have a massive squad.
I think Coughlin was only coming back from injury though, so it might be the right time, because they had to play Benson up top for makeshift striker role against Rovers. So if he's still not fully fit, it still could be the right time to have a go with them. You know, I know defensively, you know, with Bennett and stuff like that, their keeper is exceptional. But look, we proved we can get in the back of decent defences over the past.
Yeah, I think one or two from tonight might be feeling it. But I the way Vinny has them, I don't fear him changing the players around. Obviously not. You don't want 6 or 7 changes. But I mean, you know, normally we would say the goalkeeper might change. I wouldn't be changing the goalkeeper. I think he's going to run there. I think you got to stick with him. You don't be changing him now. But there's one or two maybe that might need a rest. They took Fats off tonight. I would be surprised if he doesn't play. But then you got Patching to come back in as well. Like, we played tonight, that game with the head tonight, no Will Patching. You've also got, you know, McMillan, Hoban may start on Sunday instead, of something different for Pats to deal with. But I think there could be a few changes. I think there probably should be, but you know, I'd still get them onto the field. I wouldn't be leaving them out completely, but just with Pats, they move the ball so fast, they move it so well. You know, I don't see any major changes, especially at full back. I don't see that changing too much. But look, it's going to be tough. Pats and any on the given day are as good as anyone in the league, I think. But it's just on the day, if we it's an early goal. It could be an early goal that settles it, but. We had a tough game against him the last time, and Stevie would love playing on Dock. Look at these boys, you know, Paddy Barrett, Benson, they're going to love playing on Dock again. And, it's probably not really the greatest of times, but look, there's never going to be a good time to play a team like that.
Exactly. Donal, like, do you think about rotation, or do you stick with nearly what you have? And like, I know you've got Hoobin kind of getting more and more minutes underneath his legs, which is good. Domagan come on for a bit of a run out there, you could swap up your wingers very easy and give him a run out. Patching to come back, and I think Cleary, was Cleary on the bench today?
Cleary was warming up anyway. So
I see the warm-up pictures, he was there.
I don't know. Like, I mean, we're saying, would it be a good time to play Pats? I'm sure Pats are thinking it'd be a great time to play us. Coming off the back of that game.
Absolutely.
Fats did look like he picked up a knock. So you think the easiest thing is just to leave him on the bench if Patching's fit to come in. That's a decent enough swap. Sean Murray can come in. Dickie Kelly just seemed like he picked up a knock right at the beginning of the half. So I was actually surprised he played tonight. Mm-hmm. I thought he would have gone with Murray instead of him and have an extra ball player in the middle of the field rather than having the winger on. But yeah, you're looking at those like, right, okay, so are they bad injuries? And then like Hooban up front, I'd say, is nailed on to start. And then it's like, who has, like, have they got the legs to keep this going? I mean, it's been a Herculean effort to get through as many games as they've gotten through without changing as many players as they have. And to have, like, Jesus Christ, they haven't lost since the Rovers game. Am I right? Is that right? That's the only game they've lost is the Rovers game.
It's 10 and, games in a game.
It's because everything's been so up in the air with cup games in Europe or whatever else, you just kind of forget that's the run that they're on. And that they've gotten results in Europe, like coming from behind two away legs in a row and being so close to 2-2-1 wins is absolutely phenomenal. But like, it's just the concentration. And Vinny spoke a lot about the after playing Bratislava before and making 9 changes and going to play Pats and winning. He just can't do that now. And not to like put the dampener on everything, but like the window's closed, so nobody's coming in. So the players that he thought he was going to get, the cover he thought he was going to get, or at least he told us he thought we were going to get, we didn't get. So this is just what it is now. And maybe Europe is only one more game. Maybe it's 2 more games after, like, maybe it's 3 games. But like, these lads must be absolutely knackered.
Absolutely. Like, I don't know how, like, it's a credit to them. Like, it really is. Not a complete credit. Like, you can't hold them enough. Like, the fitness levels. We said at the start, they didn't really look massively fit. But there's none of that now. It's like,
Players like Andy Boyle that you know has an injury. And Davey Mack playing last week with an injury. And it's like the lads know there's nobody else. Like, there's nobody else to come in. If they don't start, there's nobody. So, fair play to them for getting, like, just great result after great result, really. But then Sunday, it's like, I don't know. It's like, you think about coming down after European games. And I think what we noticed in the first half was, like, that little, they were quicker to the ball than we were. The lads in midfield were getting it under control and thought they had like a split second more than they had.
Yeah.
And I know that has improved teams in the past where like you come off those games and you're still at that level going into the next game and you start like you're off to the races straight away. Like you're still playing against the caliber of team you've just been playing against. So I can imagine us starting the game well, but I'd be seriously worried about the legs towards the end. And again, on Thursday next week, that's whatever score it is with half an hour to go, I'd be really, really worried about the legs towards the end.
Mm.
So what we're saying is it's an awful time to play Pats.
I someone has to bring the negativity. Pingu's not here. I'm good at it too.
You know, it's what I think. Podcast, all positive.
I can't believe we're over an hour and Gally hasn't even talked about the big incident in the game tonight. His favorite player comes off the bench, chases a player down, slide tackles, and wins the ball and gets back up straight away to play it.
What a sensation! He is just the Messiah.
He was like a completely different player coming on.
Yeah, look, maybe it's a confidence thing. Maybe he's unlucky. Maybe he bounces. I don't know. Maybe it's Lucas Aid on the bench. I don't know what it is. Abadi came on and made a massive impact last week as well. And it, like, look, if he keeps doing that every game, we'd be grand. We wouldn't probably.
Because it's funny, because we were just talking, because the reason he came into my mind as well was not only the tackle and stuff tonight, he actually acquitted himself decent tonight when he came on, but we're just talking about possible changes and switches that could happen in the team, and we didn't mention him at all. But actually, he's probably not too far away if we had to make one or two changes, that he'd be probably closer to the team now than we would have expected a couple of weeks back.
Yeah, I think I'd say Stanton would probably start. Whether or not he plays more than an hour, I'd be very surprised. But I mean, I don't know. If he's got an eye on towards the night, the obvious thing to do would be to start Sahiba, but you don't know what's going to turn up. That's what we are with him. Like,
We're back to bashing Sahiba again.
You just don't know what you're going to get with him. Like, I mean, I think the logical thing to do would be to leave Stanton on and look at if it's maybe the game the other side of halftime and bring Sahiba on for the second half. I'd be very shocked if Sam Stanton doesn't start. But then, look, you've got Murray as well, patching Murray, slot. You know, you don't know, but
yeah,
I think it'd be a push to that for Sahiba to start, especially start at CDM. We can't see it.
We'll do our predictions for that match in just a second. We'll come to our man of the match competition, because we didn't do one for the last game. So look, and I joked about this, going, this is a simple one.
I'm really tall.
Lads, the Abibi comments just flew in as soon as I said that.
I'm really conflicted here for this.
One, two, three, four. Like, nearly four or five of the last few comments are all for Abibi. So that really does says a lot. Donald, come to you first.
Thank God.
For your man of the match.
Yeah, I think I was listening to his press conference, and one of the things that he was saying about how he was annoyed that people thought he was only signed because he was mates with the manager and stuff, and to have improved since those lads have gone.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all credit to him. I mean, we all had a heart attack in the first half because he did almost punch a corner into the top corner. Like, he was so close to making an unbelievably bad mistake. But he didn't make that mistake. He kept it out. He ripped the net off the post trying to keep that out. But then made all the saves he needed to make. And like, we were talking after the treaty game, he did the same thing. It was like, he didn't have to do very much, but what he did. And he kept the game at 0-0, so it meant we only needed a goal. And tonight he kept it at 1-0. And Fats has gotten enough man of the match nominations and awards and stuff, so I'm going to go with a BB tonight.
Okay. Gally.
Oh, I thought you were going to go for yourself there after that. I am torn. I mean, I really am. Like, I thought I had it.
The man has just scored an absolute worldie tonight.
Yeah. A BB was excellent. I mean, look, I gave him probably as much of a hammering as anybody. Over, you know, pre-Vinny, probably I gave him as much of a hammer as anyone. He was excellent, and I read his interview during the week with Donal, and he comes across really well. I follow him on Instagram as well. He seems to be a relaxed fella. He seems to take he seems to be able to handle himself.
Are you judging your man of the match competition?
Instagram.
But didn't Patchin get a man of the match award for coming down from Derry once?
Yeah.
That was
like, and they earned their stripes in Derry.
You're right, safe and sound.
Come on to get the pizza. Yeah. But I can't, you cannot watch that game and see Patrick McElhenney score a header like that and then to produce a goal. Like, to produce that on a night, like, who would think in a 1-1, like, it's 1-1 against a top opposition in conference terms, and to dink it over, to send the keeper to wrong, like, to send him for a sandwich down at the deli, that's what we've done with the two of them. And just, I can't vote for anybody but Patrick McElhenney.
This is so perfectly poised.
Yeah, I'm sorry, yeah.
Perfectly poised. And you would think, like, the goalkeeper is definitely giving it to the keeper, right? But, right, I'm completely, a bit like yourself, I'm completely torn between...
It's harsh on the BB,
The fun thing is, we've been talking about, you know, that's probably Abibi's best game. And then shortly after, that's probably Abibi's best game. And then again and again. So, you know, there's clearly his performances are getting better and better as he goes on. And tonight, at that stage, with top class opposition as well, I think he, in particular, the first half when we weren't fantastic, he was super. I thought it was a super punch off the line. I would have had a player. I would have said, why wasn't there a player on the post? I would have said was the key bit on that. But then Fats goes, scores the header, which was brilliant. And I thought, I'll take a 1-1 draw. And then has the coolness to, you know, to go and give that delicate little chip over the back. I think if you didn't give it to him, it would be sacrilegious. But then will Abibi ever have such a good game?
Look, I'm not going to fall out, which is, you know, I totally understand it.
It's got to be Fats.
I
don't mean to pull a Stephen McCavity on just go Fats. No,
I've just been told not to give it to a keeper.
Roy Keane would just say he was doing his job. So if that makes you feel any better.
That's it.
He could play. Where was he for the other two goals, by the way?
He has hands. Man with hands saves ball.
Can't give someone man of the match when he's conceded two goals. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. Exactly. Where's the bar here? Where's the bar? Yeah. I think I'm all for Fats tonight. I just think that in particular the second goal is the one.
Oh, sensational. It is.
Right. This is now. Jesus, lads, there's a fair few comments in tonight, so bear with me here.
I think the only goal that really come close out of the last couple of years was Flores. Like when we're talking, it was just absolutely up off. Like Adrian Taft's commentary was just, if anybody's listening to him, I thought he ate the microphone. He was shouting down the microphone. Like it was just incredible. Incredible.
Yeah.
Probably Benson's in Europe as well. I'm trying to think of great European goals.
I was in the lily white for that one. I come up off the stool and the stool hit the ground. And,
you know, when Fats and Trudeau tonight, I just think of Robbie Benson against Batty. I was like, if he just goes all the way and puts this in the net, like you put the two side by side, but then to go and finish like that. I think we'll go with Peter Kirk. Random. Happy with that?
Cool, yeah.
Yeah, Peter, congratulations. Just contact Tony's Pizzeria there for their 10-year anniversary. They might throw in some extra chips for him. I'm throwing that out there.
One extra slice of pepperoni.
Yeah. Just mentioned that it's from the show here. So yeah, congratulations, Peter. Lads, just as an order of business, we'll wrap up then with our predictions for the Pats match. We're nearly out of time in that Rovers match, are we?
Yep. There's nothing happening.
Nothing happening but the rent. Peter has said that he already had pizza tonight, so he's going to wait till Saturday. Fair play to him.
don't have to order it straight away.
You won't be around for
Sunday's podcast if you eat two pizzas.
Yeah.
Tell him it'll be cold by Saturday if you wait. Like that's sitting there waiting for you now.
Peter, we recommend holding it till Sunday and watch a 3 p.m. kickoff. So just sit down, pizza, and watch the Dundalk game. Even better if you're at the match and you're sitting, you get a pizza ordered. That'll be class. Donal, I'll come to your first Pats match. What are we thinking?
I've got a comfortable fence to sit on. I'm just going to go 1-1.
1-1.
Yeah.
Daddy? I think we'll win 2-0. And I don't say that very often in the league against teams. I just think tonight's match and the excitement for next week, I just think they'll be on a bit of a...
Oh, no.
On a bit of a buzz.
Sorry.
Who was it?
Was that the last minute?
It had to be.
Near enough. I don't know who it was. Anyway, sorry, Gally.
I just think 2-0. I just think between the buzz from tonight and the buzz looking forward for next week, I think McElhenney's, I think he's just given everybody a lift there, I think, with that goal. I just fancy it's 2-0. Clean sheet. Clean sheet would be great. I think 2-0, yeah.
I'll go with my usual 1-0 to Dundalk, lads. It's working of late, so we're pulling these out. I'm just going to say 1-0 for the rest, copy and paste for the rest of the season. And young lad off the bench there for Rovers. So Look, it's another good result for Irish teams in it. I'll give them that.
We should be happy for them, sort of.
Yeah, we should be happy. You're right. We're not, but we should.
No, because we hate them. We don't want to be. Yeah. I don't even like watching Bowes win.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a weird licking. That's a weird.
Yeah.
It's an odd one. Like, no, it felt better. It felt better.
Exactly. They made hard work of that tonight, mind you. Look, it's nice that results bar Donald's prediction of 1-1, you know, we're kind of going for wins tonight, but, you know, someone has to be pessimistic. And I'm glad to see you donned the pessimistic hat tonight.
He's cautious.
I have to live up to my reputation. I have to be super pessimistic and just negative, negative in general.
we will be back on Sunday. Nearly got that one wrong, and I'm working at it. You think I'd know? On Sunday after the Pats match, this should be an easy send off tonight, I assume, lads. Gally, I'll leave this to you. I'm sure it is as simple as
it can only be. No fats, no problem.